Please join me in reading the prayer for guidance. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Philippians 4:10-13. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you so much for your presence with us. Be with us now as your word is spoken, and may it truly be your word. We ask that you may speak to us today, and that we may hear very strongly the words you speak. Be with us today, and I ask you to use me in Jesus' name. When my brothers and I graduated from high school, we each received a gift from my parents. One suitcase. I don't remember ever being told in words exactly what that suitcase was for, but I received the message loud and clear. We knew that we had been loved in that household, and every time we came in that house, we would be welcomed and loved. But we were also told that that was no longer our permanent home. In fact, all of us, all four, my three brothers and myself, that next fall, we packed our clothes in that suitcase and went off to college. So we were all kind of starting out, but we had that suitcase and the love that went with it. And there was a second message that was part of that suitcase, too, because there was only one suitcase. And that was we had to travel light. We couldn't get everything into that one suitcase, so we had to pick and choose exactly what we wanted to take. Now this year we're heading into a new school year. We probably have some students and some teachers here today who will be going back to school this week or within the coming weeks anyway. I wanted to show you a picture, if Doug will go on to the next picture there. This is three of my granddaughters, Mathlena, Jessa, and Vera. See, this is one of the things that, as you know, when you're preaching, you get to do this. But that was last Monday. They were heading off to school. They live in Marietta, Georgia, and school started for them on July the 31st. So they're already going to school. And most of you probably taking advantage of the tax-free weekend. You can go on back to the other one, Doug. Thank you. I can't keep it there so long. So. There we go. Most of you have probably taken advantage of your tax-free weekend this past weekend, making final preparations for the starting of school. So for teachers, students, parents, and all of us who are lifetime learners, as we travel into the new school year, I am encouraging you to travel light. Now, I'm not talking about your book bags. I know they're going to be probably weighing you down, but something even more important. And as we prepare for our journey, I want to tell you a story. It comes from the book of Acts, and it's the 16th chapter of Acts. It's a time when the Apostle Paul went to Philippi. Now, you might remember that he was called by an angel, told not to go where he was going, but to go instead into Asia, and went into Asia, went first to Philippi, was one of the first major stops he made. You might remember that's where he met Lydia and was starting a church there. But in that time, He got into trouble. There was a little girl following him around who was kind of making fun of him, mocking him. You know, he was carrying the word of God and all this kind of stuff. And he finally got tired. He recognized that there was some demonic work in that little girl. And he finally just turned around and cast the demon out of her. Well, she had been making money for her handlers, the people who were using her to tell fortunes. And she wasn't able to do that anymore. And so they went and complained to the authorities. Well, Paul and Silas were brought before the authorities and were, you know, told not to be doing that. In fact, they were beaten with rods and thrown into prison. And so we find this, that Paul and Silas are in a jail in Philippi. Now, the Roman jailer, he must have been impressed with Paul and Silas. Now, Roman jailers were not known for being, you know, real nice to the, I'll put it that way, nice to the prisoners. So we see, actually, he did not treat their wounds at all, because after a beating by the Romans, you would have had your back, would have had wounds on your back, would have had severe bruises and so on. Did nothing to help that. In fact, he put them in the most uncomfortable cell at all in the prison, and he put their hands and feet in stocks. So he would be expecting them to be in there probably crying out in pain or cursing or, you know, doing something, but instead, what are they doing? They were praying to God and singing praises to God. Unheard of. That Roman jailer must have wondered what in the world was going on. But about midnight that night, an earthquake came. All the doors of the cells sprung open. And the jailer woke up and he saw all the doors open. Now, you have to remember, this was, a prison would have been completely dark. Probably one torch. He probably had one or two torches there. And so he couldn't even actually see into the cells, but he saw the door standing open, and he knew the prisoners had escaped. What else would they do? So he prepared to commit suicide. He had his sword out, was going to commit suicide, when Paul cried out, "Do not harm yourself, we are all here." So the jailer called for lights and went around and looked in all the cells, and sure enough, all the prisoners were still there. The jailer saw in Paul and Silas something that he wanted. And that very night, he came before them and knelt before them and asked, "What must I do to be saved?" So he actually took Paul and Silas back to his home. He did clean and dress their wounds and kind of took care of them. Paul and Silas then baptized the jailer and his family. And you think about when Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, from what Pam was reading earlier, they probably would have been in Philippi hearing that letter read to them from the apostle Paul. Paul accounts in the Philippian scripture we had today that he's learned to be content whatever it is he is facing. And then he makes this statement, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me," or "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So when we're going into a new school year, this is the one thing that our students, our teachers, the parents, and all of us lifetime learners need to remember: this scripture, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So this is the one thing we must all carry with us into into this new school year. Carrying Jesus with us is one of the most important things, probably the most important thing we can do on a day-by-day basis. Carrying Jesus can be hard. It's kind of hard sometimes carrying Jesus wherever we go, but it'll never be heavy for us. In fact, he's the one who gives us strength day by day. So traveling lightly, one of the things we do carry with us is Christ. But what are some of the things, some of the things we don't carry with us? Well, I want to go back to that story in Philippians, if I could, for just a minute. Paul and Silas were in the Roman jail. And think about what they have been through now, beating and being thrown probably very roughly into the cell, being put in stocks, nothing done to dress their wounds. But then hearing them praising God, singing songs. But this jailer had done everything he could to make this experience terribly painful for Paul and Silas. So when Paul sees him getting ready to fall on his sword and commit suicide, I think that Paul and Silas might have been happy just to be rid of him. He had been very cruel to them. But he wasn't. He called out, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." And that is what made all the difference in the life of this jailer and his family. You see, Paul had realized that unforgiveness is one of those unnecessary burdens we so often carry with us. He learned to let that go. And what an important lesson for all of us. Traveling light means not holding on to grudges, hurts, slights, insults we have received. We let them go because they, more than anything else, will weigh us down. There are two verses in Matthew's gospel. I know you've heard these before. It comes from the 18th chapter of Matthew. And Jesus and Simon Peter, his disciple, are having a conversation. And Peter evidently has been, I don't know what had happened between him and one of the other disciples maybe, or someone else, evidently a follower of Jesus. He said someone in the church. He said, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Now see, Peter thought he was being generous here by saying seven times. The Jewish people said three times. But Simon said, "Well, maybe we'll go up to seven. Do I do it as many as seven times?" Well, you remember what Jesus said? He said, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times, or some scriptures have 70 times seven. But it makes no difference the exact number Jesus was using because the message is the same. He says, we don't keep track. Whether 77 or 490 times, we don't keep track. We just keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. Forgiveness is always appropriate and always important and an essential part of the Christian life. Do not carry the unnecessary burden of unforgiveness with you. It will weigh you down. But giving forgiveness, as you know, is one of the hardest things we as Christians are called upon to do. I had one woman in one of my churches who I talked to her very often about forgiveness. Her daughter's husband had been unfaithful to her and finally left her. And she could not forgive that man no matter how hard she tried. She kept trying to forgive him. She knew she had to, but it was something she just could not do. And I imagine many of you have experienced things similar to this. Those things that hurt so very deeply, and instead of really working on them, we just push them deeper and deeper and deeper inside of us. But it sometimes means forgiving the same person over and over and over and over and over and over again until the hurt is gone. So I encourage you, do not carry the heavy weight of unforgiveness in your daily load. So, do carry Jesus Christ with you. Now, if we have any teachers here, I know that you have restrictions as to what you can say about religion in your classrooms, and I understand that. But there is no requirement, no law that tells you that you cannot keep an open prayer line to God no matter where you are, even in the classroom. I've learned one of the most important lessons I learned is I didn't have to close my eyes and fold my hands and bow my head to say a prayer. I do eyes open prayer all the time. I've been doing it this whole sermon time. So I know it's possible. Keep that eyes open prayer, because Jesus can give you patience. He can strengthen you and can inspire you and will watch over you. So that's the first thing. Do that. Carry Christ with you. But do not carry all the clutter of hurtful words and actions that can accumulate. It means you have to forgive and forgive and forgive. And now go forth in the Spirit of Christ with you. Be blessed as we share together, as we have shared together this time and this place. May the Spirit of Christ rest upon each of you. In Jesus' name, amen.